All right, 1 John chapter 4. Let's read verse 18. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you get the message there that you really shouldn't be afraid if you belong to God. If your heart's right with God, you shouldn't be afraid. I mentioned to you before that real courage, the real deal, comes from God and from faith in God. Comes from faith in God. If you really believe and trust in God, you're not afraid. What time I'm afraid, I will
trust in thee.
Trust in thee. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. There's a verse, and we're going to read that again. We've read that a few times lately. But forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the fear of death, it causes bondage. All right. So perfect love casteth out fear. Love does not produce fear. I want to read another verse. I got a lot of scripture to read tonight, mostly what I'm going to do. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 and 16 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." And we just read there in Hebrews chapter 2 where Jesus came, and he was a partaker of everything that we have to partake of, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver them through whom fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. And so you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You see? Being saved is different than being lost.
Yes.
Everything's all different. You don't have those bad things that you had before you were saved. A lot of them like being afraid, like fear. Just all fear causes worry. It's about the same thing, really. Fear, that means you're afraid something's going to happen. And you're worrying about something happening bad to you that's just in your imagination. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Fear is a product of guilt.
Yes, sir.
Remember this morning, we kind of hammered on that for a while about David. How that after the sin, the guilt just swamped him. And guilt makes you afraid.
Yes, sir.
Afraid of judgment, afraid of being caught, afraid of condemnation, afraid of what you're going to lose because of it. Guilt is a fear that you're going to lose, and sin does rob you of everything. Fear is a product of feeling left alone in the unknown. And that's why fear and faith can't exist together, because we're not alone if we believe in God. And if you're saved, Jesus said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." How can you be afraid if you believe that? If that's a reality to you, if he lives in you, if his spirit is in you, how can you fear? What is there to fear? Not even death should be fearful to the person that's a child of God.
Yeah.
We fear the crossing, the pain of it and all, but my, if we have the eye of faith, we ought to be able to look farther than that.
Yes.
We ought to be able to look, and what we fear, I think, mostly is having to lay in bed and suffer for a long time before we die.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I was reading the other day, I believe it was Cotton Mather's, he was an old back in the founding of the country here, he was a well-known guy. But when he was dying, that's what he said. Is this death? Is this all there is to it? Is this what I feared? Is this what everybody's afraid of? Fear is a product of being defenseless and vulnerable to harm. And that's also why fear and faith can't exist together. If you believe God, do you not believe that He's going to care for you? Yeah. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's your protector. He's your provider. He's the one that keeps you safe.
Yes, sir.
Yes. How many people really trust God that way? Or do you live in fear? Well, fear is a product of losing control and knowing that it's giving someone or something else that doesn't have your best interests or welfare at heart. It's a product of losing control and knowing that that control is given to someone else or something else that's not necessarily got your best interests in mind. You're afraid that you can't control the situation. People are afraid because they're not in control. Like when you're riding with a teenage driver in the car, you know.
Yes.
Well, I'm just using that to try to get you to understand what I'm saying here. We do that with other things in life. If we are not in control, then we're afraid. Afraid something's going to happen. But if I was in control, it'd be all right. Nah, that's not.
Yeah, that's true.
Another deal. Who's in control of your life?
Right.
Is it you or is it God? If He's got the whole world in His hands, what's your little life? Is it too much for Him to handle? Too much for Him to take care of? Love shuts all these doors to fear. Love, perfect love, casteth out fear. You're not going to worry about dying. You're not going to worry about living. You're not going to worry about what people are going to do to you or not do for you or whatever. All the things we just mentioned here. You're not going to worry about not being able to defend yourself. They threw Daniel in the lion's den. How well could he defend himself? But God defended him, didn't He?
Yes, sir.
They threw the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace and they couldn't do a thing about it to save themselves. But God saved them, didn't He?
Yes, He did.
And over and over and over. We can go through the Bible and find examples where God did what He said He would do. And what you'll find in every situation is they weren't afraid. Those Hebrew boys said, they heated the furnace 7 times hotter. They said, "Be it known unto you, O king, we're not bowing. You can throw us in that furnace." They feared God more than they feared what was going to happen to them right here. Fear is an unpleasant and painful thing. It's a state of alarm and it's a state where you're anticipating some evil or some pain or some injury. That's why you're afraid. That's what fear is. It's the alarm at the anticipation of what's going to happen to you. Fear hath torment, the Bible says. That means extreme pain, anguish, and the utmost degree of misery, either of body or mind. Pain is not just mashing your finger in the door. Pain is not just getting shot or burnt or any other injury like that. Pain, you can hurt in your soul that is much more painful than what your body can hurt. And fear has torment. It can make you hurt inside. Oh my. Fear makes people tremble physically. It makes them so nervous and so addled in their mind that they can't even think right. They can't make right decisions. They couldn't defend themselves if they had something to defend themselves with because of the fear that's in them. Fear torments people. Yeah. It's terrible to be afraid.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I've known people who were fearful, and it's bad. It becomes a consuming, controlling thing that robs you of peace of mind. How can you have peace of mind when you're fearful? When you're afraid. Afraid of this, afraid of that. You know, there's people that are afraid to get in a car and go down the road. Well, might get killed. I understand that. Might get maimed for life. But it's funny how we can overcome those fears when we just want to do something bad enough. It's funny how we can overcome the fears when it's something we just have to do. We have to. But if it's not something that's just forced upon us, we will indulge the fear. We'll just allow it to take over our mind and our heart and worry about stuff. Well, perfect love won't let you do that. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm just telling you, there's a better way to live than to be fearful, afraid of everything. It isn't something that comes and goes away. Fearful people are fearful all the time. Have you ever noticed that? They're that way all the time. It doesn't matter what it is, you know. They're afraid of everything. They worry about everything. A fearful person is contagious and contaminates the souls and hearts of others and makes them fearful also. That's right. If somebody in here was afraid right now, afraid like, you know, they thought there was a snake in the place or something, and I saw it, there's, what's everybody else going to do? Yep. We might as well go home. I mean, ain't going to get nothing done here. Because everybody's going to be scared. A wasp could come in here, and that'd end the service. Because some people are scared to death of them. And, or a spider, for heaven's sake. Man, what if a black widow spider would crawl out in the middle there? Clear the house. Well, you can take your hand and kill a spider. You can take your foot and stomp a snake. People have done it. I know people that's done it. Well, I'm glad some people are not fearful. Yeah. It isn't something that comes and goes away, and a fearful person is contagious, and a fearful person is not a sound thinker. Their reasoning will be affected by their fear.
Right.
You can't think right when you're afraid. Your mind's going to be messed up. You're going to live in imaginations that feed your fear. There's going to be something behind every bush.
Yep,
there's going to be something behind every door, and you'll be scared to death to even open the shower curtain. Afraid to step out on the porch at night because something will get you. So what's going on right now. See, everybody's afraid that there's just viruses everywhere.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody sick, but we're scared to death of this thing.
Yep.
We've had the flu and the flu and the flu, and we have colds and everything else and all kinds of other things come through. And we don't worry about that too much.
Yep.
And now scared of this phantom.
Right.
No matter how it is, people still fearful. They've done a good job because most everybody in here has got a little bit of it in you. If you're in the snore store and the snore in the store and somebody sneezes at you, you think, oh no, I'm gonna die. I've got it. Before you wouldn't even think a thing about it. They'd sneeze all over the tomatoes and you'd grab one, put it in your cart and take it home and eat it without washing it.
Yep.
But now everybody's afraid. Why is everybody afraid? If you do get it, 99.7 or 8%, that's almost everybody that gets it, gets over it. Just like you get over a cold or the flu or anything else. More people die of the flu.
Yes.
And they're lying about the numbers. It's obvious they're lying about the numbers.
Yes, sir.
And everybody's afraid, though.
Yep.
That's what's running this country. It's what's running the world.
Yes.
The media runs the country through fearful people.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
They're like sheeple that can be manipulated with fear.
Yes.
Because everybody's fearful.
That's right.
Why are they fearful? They got no God. They got no faith in God.
That's right.
That's why you're fearful. If you believe God, you wouldn't be fearful. You wouldn't be afraid of anything. But everybody's afraid of everything. They're afraid of a snowstorm that might give us a half an inch of snow. They're afraid of everything except tornadoes. Everybody just stands out there and watches tornadoes. That is a paradox, ain't it?
Yeah.
I saw some the other day down in Arkansas. They all just standing there. Here's a tornado coming right across there, and they're just all watching it. It's heading right for so-and-so, you know. Yep. People that are fearful, they're not sound thinkers. They live in imaginations and that feed their fear, and they're constantly imagining things to be fearful about. There's always something else to be afraid of. You know, this the news is it's a hoot, really, at what it is. It's all about that. You ever look at the news and see what it is? It's either soft porn or it's all about fear. That's all it is. The stock market. The president,
yeah.
the Iranians, Russia, China. Yeah. You know, it's all wars and rumors of wars, and it's all about calamities that are coming on the earth. Murder hornets now. And killer bees. And,
yep.
And everybody's scared to death of everything.
Yep,
ain't
sure
they?
Yeah, they are.
I sure hope that you get a handle on things and don't run that route. Don't let them make you afraid.
No.
You got nothing to be afraid of. No. If you're right with God.
That's right. Amen.
If you're right with God and you're living for God and you're living right and have God smile upon your life, God will protect you. God will fight your battles. Isn't that what He told His people? He'll fight your battles. I'll take care of you. Not a hair of your head will perish. Well,
amen.
Instead of living in reality, they're living in a fantasy full of fear. And that's a poor choice for life, let me tell you. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." There's another scripture. It tells you the same thing. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. And of love, and of sound mind. The fearful, that means the fearful don't have a sound mind.
That's right.
They don't. They don't think right. The fearful are identified in this list of those who are not going to heaven. They're going to end up in the lake of fire. My, that's pretty strong right there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What do all those have in common? The fearful, and liars, and idolaters, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and abominable, and murderers?
No God.
Fearful. Don't have God any more than a murderer does, a sorcerer does. An abominable person does. An idolater, a liar,
wow.
Fearful, right in the list. That's somebody that's afraid all the time. Lives in fear all the time. It's absolutely true, because fear and faith can't exist together. That's what we've found from the very beginning here. Fear and faith don't live in the same house. Fear causes the devils to tremble. James chapter 2 and verse 19. "Thou believest there's one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble." Why does the devils tremble? Because they're afraid of God. There's only one fear that we ought to entertain, and that is the fear of the Lord. But we don't fear the Lord like people fear all these other things. We're talking about a different kind of thing here. The fear of the Lord means a reverence for the Lord.
Right.
How many of you feared your mom and dad?
Yeah.
Well, how many of you loved your mom and dad? Oh, yeah. But you knew there were boundaries and lines that if you crossed, you had something to fear. And it was either a board with holes in it, or a belt, or a switch, or some other kind of punishment that was not pleasant. That's how we're to fear God. We're not to think of God as He's just up there in heaven with a great big stick just watching and waiting for me to make the right move so He can whack me good. That ain't the way it is at all. And it's not how we ought to fear God.
No.
We ought to fear God the way the Bible talks about. Fear is a reverence of God. It's a reverent regard for who He is and the power He possesses. There's no way that a preacher or anybody can ever, with words, convey to other people the power of God. We're talking about God, who created all things, who spoke the sun and the moon and the stars into existence, as well as the earth. He didn't make it with His hands. He spoke it into existence. And He didn't make it out of something that was already there. He made it out of nothing. The earth's pretty big. We were talking about it today. You know how big the earth is and how deep the ocean is and how high the sky is. And it's nothing compared to the sun and the universe that we can look out there and see. He spoke all that into existence. And then we're going to sit here and try to tell in human terms what His power is like.
Right.
We're going to talk about Him and try to imagine Him as being somebody just like us. If you get the least concept of the reality of God and what He's really like, you'd fall on your face. You'd be afraid. Every person, and I say this often, but every person in the Bible that did meet God, find themselves in the presence of God, they fell on their face as they were dead. And the first thing that God had to speak to them was, fear not. You don't have to be afraid of Me. Well, that's pretty wonderful right there. You don't have to be afraid of Me that way. Fear God is to realize His power. The Almighty God. That ought to strike a kind of fear into your human heart. When you realize how little you are and how weak you are and how temporal you are, fragile in His sight. Not the same kind of fear we feel because of guilt or threat of evil, but a healthy, reverent fear for an Almighty God who has all power and who's able to do with us and with the whole universe as He pleases. He's spoken into existence. He can speak it right out of existence.
Yes, He can.
And we are at His mercy.
Yes.
We depend upon it completely.
Yes.
Fearing that is not like fearing imaginary boogers and things around us.
That's right.
The fear of the Lord is based upon truth and reality, not imagination. Now I'm going to read a bunch of scripture. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and you have a good understanding if you keep His commandments and do them. You understand. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now the other verse said, beginning of wisdom. This verse says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is, you know, it's going to tell us what it is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. That's perverted, crooked, don't speak right things. You know somebody, I'm sure, that is, when they say things, it just comes out all crooked. Their words are not right. I know people who claim to be good Christians, and they live like good Christians, but when they say things, it's just not... Something wrong there.
Yep.
Do you sense that? Do you feel that? Do you see it?
Yeah.
I do.
Yes.
The froward mouth do I hate. Hate evil. Hate pride, hate arrogancy, hate the evil way, hate the froward mouth. That's the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Do you hate those things?
Yes, sir.
Do you love this world or hate this world?
Yes,
Yes. And I'm talking not the people. This is what he just named here. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Yeah, don't worry about the wicked, because their time is short. You always ought to encourage yourself with that truth that's in the Scripture. That's not the only place it is there. The wicked shall soon be cut off. Their reign doesn't last long. Proverbs 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. See there? Fear God and keep his commandment. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14, 27, next verse. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It's a shelter. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fearing God is a big part of living right and pleasing God. And he don't want us running in fear of him. You don't want to. I mean, don't you feel bad if one of your kids is there and you raise up to pick up something and they go. Any of your kids ever do that? Everybody's kids have done that. But you think, oh, why did he do that? Is that what he thinks every time I come around him? God don't want us thinking of him like that.
Yeah.
And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Confidence in what? That God loves you. And that God will take care of you. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Yes, sir. Beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge, fountain of life, and it's how you depart from evil. You fear God. People don't fear God because he's not being represented right in this generation where we're living. So they're talking about him like he's a cool dude and an old man upstairs and all of this, and he's just like us, and
right.
He's that long-haired, feminine-looking thing they got in all their pictures. They don't represent him right. Men can't represent him with images. That's why God said no images. That's one of the commandments. Don't make any graven image of anything in heaven. Because we can't represent God right. That's why those pictures of Jesus are wrong.
Yes, sir.
Why are they in all the churches? When they have a King James Bible that tells them, don't do that. And yet people do it anyway. They got them in their houses. They put them in Bibles even, pictures. Yes. You're not going to fear. I mean, seeing those pictures of that feminine looking half man, whatever it is, don't make me fear. It doesn't produce any kind of fear or reverence in my... So, I'm sorry. That ain't Jesus.
No.
I know that ain't what he looked like. And I know that ain't what he looks like now. It amazes me that John, who lay in his bosom and knew him the best, when he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, John fell on his face.
Yes, sir.
John, with all that confidence and that special relationship he had, that closeness he had with the Lord, and then when he seen him as he is now. He knew who he was. But he was so overwhelmed with his presence and his power, and he'd seen him as a man. He'd never seen him as God, as he was. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. That's Proverbs 19, verse 23. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And Ecclesiastes 8, verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. No fear of God. They've kind of quit wearing these things, but a few years ago they wore these shirts that says, no fear. And then that was a big lie. I always wanted to just go up to one of them and say, boo! Or, you know, this sounds terrible, but I would like to just stuck a gun in their gut and said, now you afraid? See if they're lying or telling the truth. They're lying. They're afraid. Guarantee you. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, y'all know what the next words are, don't you? Fear God and keep his commandments.
Yes.
For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon looking at the whole life and the vanity of it all and what really matters and what's important and what's not. And at the very end, so let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What really matters? What's it all about? How you gonna come out in the end good? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. How foolish to fear things of earth and not fear God. That's why people that wear these shirts that says no fear, and they're ungodly people. I don't know why anybody that knows God would wear something like that. We're the only ones that's got a right to wear something like that. You get me? But people wear that like they're not afraid of anything on earth. And they're not afraid of God either. But they are afraid of things on the earth. They're lying about that. But they're afraid of things on earth and not afraid of God. Matthew 10, verse 28, last verse I'm going to read. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now who is that? It's God. He's the one that has the power of life and death. He has the power of eternal life or death. And the fear of those things is the kind of fear that has torment. Fearing those that are able to kill the body. That's the ones that we fear that torments us. The fear of the Lord has a great reward. The fear of man is a snare. Most of the fear of anything besides the Lord is based only on imagination anyway. We know too much. We watch too much news. We got too much media. And so we hear about everything that happens. We think we do, but there's a lot more happens that we don't know about. But they don't tell good news, do they? What do they tell? Bad news.
Yes.
Everything they tell is something to instill more fear in you. They tell you about when the convicts are all loose and running on the streets and going to get you. Somebody escaped and they're going to get you. Yeah, well, go on and on. But most of the fear of anything besides God is based on imagination. Faith worketh by love. And true love for the Lord and the realization of His love for us removes all the fear that torments and encourages the healthy fear of the Lord. Hope y'all understand this. True faith that worketh by love cannot coexist with fear that torments. You can't fear God and fear man. If you fear God, you're not going to be afraid of man. That's how a martyr can stand at a stake and be burned to death. Yes, sir. That's how a person can live their whole life in victory for God. That's how Joseph can endure what he done. It's how David can come out of the terrible place he's in right now, where we're at in the scripture with him. Fear the Lord. Faith worketh by love. True faith worketh by love, cannot coexist with fear that torments, and that same true love cannot be experienced without the fear of the Lord. So the scripture we started with, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And it's talking about fearing the things of the world and not God. Fear God and keep His commandments. Y'all understand the difference between the fear of the Lord and the fear of man. Fear of imaginary tragedies that's waiting to happen to you. A Christian cannot live in that realm. Who are the fearful that are going to be cast into the lake of fire? Who are they? There'll be a lot of people that was in that same crowd that says, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? And blah, blah, blah. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Same people. Yes, sir. With an eye toward what men think and what men do instead of what God thinks and what God does. Fear not, little flock. Sometime get you a concordance or your Bible on your phone or whatever and just look up that word in the Bible. Look up fear. Look up fear not. It'll amaze you. Amen. All right, Lord, we thank you for the good Lord's day. Thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. The Word of God, thank you for it. Thank you for the truths we look at here and how it helps. I pray you'd help us to keep this, Lord, and obey it. Pray you'd help us to work on this weakness in ourselves. We're bombarded daily, almost hourly, by things of this world that want to make us afraid and make us fret and worry. And Lord, help us to understand here tonight that that is not pleasing to you, and it will not go. It just will not work. We can't trust you and fear what's around us here in this world. We know that we're just strangers and pilgrims here, but we have a protector and a guide. And you said you'd care for us and watch over us and meet our needs, and you would get us through, and you're able to make us stand. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that clearly tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.